Hi everyone, it's Sho here. Just wanted to share some thoughts with our US users about the disappointing vote in the House of Representatives. There has been a lot of misinformation, and I hope to clarify some things. First, thank you to our incredible community. You are what makes TikTok so special. Thank you for making your voices heard. Over the last few years, we have invested to keep your data safe and our platform free from outside manipulation. We have committed that we will continue to do so. This legislation, if signed into law, will lead to a ban of TikTok in the United States. Even the bill sponsors admit that that's their goal. This bill gives more power to a handful of other social media companies. It will also take billions of dollars out of the pockets of creators and small businesses. It will put more than 300,000 American jobs at risk, and it will take away your TikTok.
Your TikTok. Is it your TikTok, though? Is it your TikTok? It's China's TikTok. It's the CCP's TikTok. I think that's kind of how it is. So that was the head of TikTok who was discussing, you know, ultimately the bill that passed the House that's going to the Senate and what that exactly is going to mean for this company going forward. Welcome to the show. Dana Lash here with you. Top of this first hour for Thursday. I swear to you, I keep thinking it's Tuesday. What? So if I say that it's Tuesday, will you guys just roll with it? Because it's like one of those days. It's one of those, they woke up with allergies. My eyes were swollen shut. I mean, come on. It was like, yeah. So this back and forth, they're saying, oh, the TikTok ban is going to come back and bite the United States. Now we, we had two pieces. I'm trying to think of it because I have a million drafts going in Substack right now. The newsletter. So this is where you need to like sign up for this and subscribe because you get all kinds of really good stuff with us. But I looked at it a couple of different ways. Like first off, we had the piece, the discussion that we had with Brendan Carr, the FCC chair, up on not just YouTube, but we also had a piece up on Substack about it. But in addition, I also was kind of diving into a little bit of, you know, the good and the bad, because all of these things can exist simultaneously. All of these things. And these things are the fact that ByteDance is the biggest, that's TikTok's parent company. I explained to you yesterday that back in 2021, they purchased the so-called golden share, so they can outvote every other shareholder. That's theirs. That's theirs. That's true. It's also true that TikTok has been collecting data and that they send it to Beijing and they collect information on all of you. They send it to Beijing. We have no idea what they do with it. And it doesn't necessarily look on the up and up, if we're being honest about it, right? It doesn't. That's also true. It's also true that, you know, this idea that it's a free speech issue, it's not really a free speech issue. It really isn't. It's not a free speech issue. And I say it's not a free speech issue because it's more of an issue of what they're doing with your information, what they're doing with your free speech. I mean, if anything, it's they're really using your free speech against you. You know, and I wrote about this in front of this, how, and I keep coming back to this point, comparing illicit conduct to free speech, the latter, which is not even contested in the version of the bill I read. And if you subscribe on Substack, I sent that to you. So you have the link to the actual bill that I'm going to pull this up. You have the link to the actual bill, Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Applications Act. So if you're a subscriber, you can actually go, you can read it and read the bill for yourself, which I highly suggest that you do. I know it's not the funnest beach read, but I do suggest that you actually go and read this stuff because they do define foreign adversary. Now, when I asked Brendan Carr about that, I was a little questionable about it. I'm like, is it really? Now, the reason why people are getting upset about that phrase in the bill is because the bill doesn't list it. The bill doesn't list it. It is a federal, it's already an existing federal statute that defines, so it's a legally defined term already. So within the bill, it says foreign adversary, which is legally defined elsewhere in federal law. So they don't leave it open to interpretation. And the foreign adversary is very specifically defined as one of four things: Russia, China, North Korea, Iran. So those concerns can be put to rest. And there are some portions of the bill that are a little vague. I mean, I think that you should just come out and be like, you specifically, TikTok. I mean, just come right out and name it. But here's the big issue. I do not want to fall into the trap of the Chinese Communist Party weaponizing the patriotism of everyday Americans for as a way to empower their continued surveillance. Does that make sense? Because it is surveillance. It's espionage. I don't want them to use our patriotism and our, I mean, this is a, it's weird because this is a country that, I mean, the parent company is how is in a country that doesn't even acknowledge or recognize, et cetera, free speech. It's kind of funny. But I don't want to fall into that trap that we are, we're going to allow them to weaponize this for us for their continued surveillance. So those are three things that I think are incredibly important with all of this. And that I hope, you know, like I said, if you get the newsletter, you can read the bill, you can see everything that's in there. It's very important. But I think that they're laying the bait. Because like I've said, it's very odd to see the left and the right divided against themselves. And it's very odd to see, you know, members of the Democrat Party agreeing with certain members of the Republican Party on this stuff. It's weird. And I just don't accept that the bill is an affront to free speech. I don't think that behavior that is considered espionage is protected as free speech. And that's, speech isn't even the issue that the bill takes, has a concern with. It doesn't even address that. It looks at data mining and surveillance. Now, the extent of the powers that are held by the chief executive, as I explained yesterday, and the reason I'm touching on this again is because it's fighting now in the Senate. They're fighting over it in the Senate. The authority isn't verbatim extended to the office of the executive with this. However, was it really extended to the office of the executive and their governing agencies under the Patriot Act or anything else? I mean, you can't blame millions of Americans for legitimate concerns because they watched this play out in front of themselves literally over the past decade. You can't blame them. I mean, they've watched the government shape through abuse, power that it didn't have, into one that it did, and they wielded it against political dissenters. You can't blame Americans for this. And like I said, their sudden interest in free speech is hysterical. It's a freedom foreign to those living in the country of its parent company. So don't get baited into defending the continuation of communist surveillance on private Americans by allowing them to weaponize your patriotism to their own benefit. So all of these things can be true. This is a very tricky, nuanced issue. And not everything is all good and not everything is all bad. That's why a lot of caution is advisable. A lot of caution. This is one of the things that we're watching. Now, a few other things that we're going to touch on as well, because there's a few things too. I mean, it's weird. It's like a Thursday, but it's still kind of a busy day. There's a lot of stuff happening. I was watching with great interest, and it's not necessarily a lead story, but I'm fascinated with the history of Democrats having problems with this. Kamala Harris and Doug Emhoff are caught up in a scandal over their elite Hillcrest Country Club. They said that it's a furious race storm in a new lawsuit filed this week against the club and its leaders. They say the club, this Hillcrest Country Club, they have mostly Jewish members, has been branded racist by Matthew Winnick, 42 years old, who claims the club retaliated against him and his wife. And so now what is up with, they always make fun of Republicans and country clubs. Democrats do. Have you noticed that? But who is it that always gets in trouble with their country clubs? Yeah. Let me, Actually, I had this pulled up and I closed it. Let me open this in my notes. I'm opening this in my notes because this was a piece that was out in 1992 and it had to do with Bill Clinton. Here it is. So this was published in 1992. And it came out in March. And it was the Country Club of Little Rock. He apparently brought, Bill Clinton was apparently a member there. And the New York Times on March 21st, that's next week, 1992, quote, Democrats, Clinton say golfing at all-white club was a mistake. So they ran a piece a day earlier where they discussed how Bill Clinton was literally the member of a whites-only golf club in 1992. I know. You're like, how in the world does something like this exist in 1992? Oh, well, it did. He actually, and the New York Times busted the story during the campaign. And so they talked about, oh, it's, you know, recalls an older South, progressive run, by the way. And he played there and had no problem playing there until they busted him. And then all of a sudden it was, oh, well, wait a minute now. This is bad. I didn't know this. He knew it. You don't sit here and go to a country club that's whites only in 1992 and not know that it's a whites only club. And by the way, how the hell does that exist in 1992? It's 1992. MTV existed. How the hell does that exist? Right? Right. I remember reading this. I was in seventh grade. And I remember this story came out. The summer before my seventh grade year. And this story came out. And I'm like, that exists still? What? Because when you hear about that, when you're a kid and you hear about these stories, you think that's like the days of yore, right? It seems like 1,000 years ago. It really wasn't. And so that was just, this is not the first or second time, the latest with Kamala Harris and her husband, who are getting in trouble with their country clubs. So it's labeled a racist aristocracy that disregards reports of sexual assault. And they said, if you're not white, or basically the way the lawsuit insinuates, because I feel like it's a progressive that filed it, if I'm being totally honest. They're like, if you're not white or Jewish, because they act like it's, well, if you're not white, or they treat Jewish like it's white adjacent. It's the weirdest thing. That's why I think it's a progressive. I love it when they fight amongst themselves, by the way. But I had to point out and lay that on your snack table today, that they consistently have problems with country clubs. It's the most fascinating thing. So a few things to touch on as we keep rolling. The immigration issue. I'm going to lay out, because we've been following all the Haitian stuff. And the reason why we've been following all the Haitian stuff is because of the effect that it's going to have, not just on other nations within the vicinity, but also with our immigration issue, not just at the southern border, but also in Florida. Now, remember how yesterday I was telling you Turks and Caicos, and I was explaining to you about how this is and other Commonwealth nations in that area are reliant upon the British for protection, right? So you've had the Tories in power. You've had a conservative party in power for the past few years, right? They've been pretty hardliner for them on immigration and trying to get a handle on what the progressives have done to the country. Well, they're getting ready to have their butts handed to them, projected in, you know, forthcoming election. They're not doing too well polling, et cetera. What does that mean for further continued enforced immigration, not just for them, but also other allied nations that fall under the Commonwealth, and what effect does that have on our southern border in Florida? So we're going to get into all of that and so much more. A lot of stuff to hit today. Have you seen any of those viral videos, the ones that show aisles stacked with emergency food supplies in stores? It kind of makes you wonder, like, what do they know that you don't? Well, you already know how I feel about being prepared myself. So why bother with the hassle of stores, which, you know, just mark up all their prices when you can order directly and save? With Wise Food Storage, you're guaranteed access to delicious, high-quality food exactly when you need it the most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com and enter code Dana in the search bar to unlock exclusive deals just for you, like their current offer, the buy one, get one free on their 72-hour survival food kit. Not only that, but Wise Food Storage offers fast and free shipping on most orders. With their remarkable 25-year shelf life, these provisions will be ready for you whenever the need should arise. So instead of endlessly doom-scrolling through all the videos, wondering what catastrophe could be next, take action and secure your food supply today at wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals. That's wisefoodstorage.com and use code Dana.
and now. All of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Public Square has acquired a buy now, pay later firm called Credova. This is, you guys remember Public Square. It's a publicly traded sales marketplace. It promotes retailers that have conservative values. They've acquired Credova, a buy now, pay later company, and they cater to shooting, sports, and firearms sales. And so what this is the, you know, Public Square, this all stock deal, they're trying to help it to where they have a hedge against payment vendors who are absolute bigots, and they want to syntax the hell out of completely, perfectly, constitutionally legal activities. And apparently, Credova is the only buy now, pay later platform that actually services firearms. So that's very interesting. So just, you know, put that one in your back pocket. So apparently in St. Louis, Missouri, that one chick, is she actually talented? She's pretty, but I don't know. I mean, remember when we had triple threats? Now it's either you can either sing well and be ugly, or you can be pretty and not sing well. I don't know. Olivia Rodrigo handed out emergency contraceptives at a concert in Missouri where abortion is not banned, you absolute illiterate cousin-loving degenerates. It's not. They said that the attendees were sharing photos on social media. Great way to advertise whoredom, because 99% of it is for emergency contraception. Maybe be a little bit, practice a little bit more discretion when you're flinging your legs open, as opposed to doing it after the fact when life is created. That's when choice, there's no, what, why? We can't, women aren't responsible enough to be accountable and to be responsible. They're not empowered enough to do that. I might come back to this actually, because I just jettisoned all of our other headlines for this. Well, we have more in store. Stay with us. Our partners that help bring you free radio, Gold Co. Precious Metals. They make it really easy to navigate that very confusing field of, you know, the gold IRA field. And they want to make sure that, you know, you can work with a precious metals company you trust. And that's where Gold Co. steps in. They have an education first stance. So they are information packet. They have a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers that explains the economy and how gold IRAs work. They want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And they have unmatched customer service, zero complaint record. And they want to make sure that you understand how precious metals ownership is an important part of your overall retirement and savings strategy. There's a no pressure approach. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and learn how to get possibly $10,000 in bonus silver. So get that free 2024 gold kit today. Protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started at danalikesgold.com. Get that free gold kit from Gold Co. and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's danalikesgold.com.
Where have all the Friday jobs reports gone? The White House used to gloat about their incredible job numbers. The latest report was off by 40%. They are lying to you. What's the real truth about the jobs reports? It's all fake.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
Too. There's strength in there. The more people that are suffering with this thing, there's strength in there. This is so. Anymore. I know you don't. This like was that dude Dylan Mulvaney song. You know, first off, welcome back. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast. I'm sorry about the simulcast viewers watching the video portion of the radio program, but I had to watch it, so you do too. You can join the discussion at YouTube, Facebook, Channel 347, DirecTV. Dylan Mulvaney released a Days of Girlhood song. And for the people who are like, Dana, don't give it air. Oh, no. I was born to give it air. You don't understand. I have a particular set of skills, guys. And expert ridicule is one of them. So I would win the gold medal in this. So he came out with a song called Days of Girlhood. Kane, I remember when using sexist stereotypes to define women was considered misogyny. But now it's just cosplay clickbait.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, because it is still misogyny. But people, yeah.
It's cosplay.
Monetized misogyny.
I mean, because when you cosplay, you don't cosplay. Do you guys know what cosplay is? you're dressing up as a character, like anime. It's cool, actually. Some people are really good with their costumes. I know people who literally learned how to sew and like became great seamstresses.
I'm impressed with a lot
because they wanted to do it. It's really impressive. Anyway, the cosplay, that's what this is. He takes every stereotype that's ever been attributed to women and uses that to create to festoon, I guess, like a, what he thinks a woman is, right? It's a caricature. So he portrays women as drunk pill popping whores in this video. I mean, he actually says, did the walk of shame and didn't even know his name. That was one of the lyrics of the song.
He's been mocking women since day one.
He absolutely is. Women are all portrayed as drunk pill-popping whores in the song. That's why it's like, I know, and I've seen people, and you know, maybe I don't affirm their self-perception. I'm nice to people unless they give me a reason not to be nice. Again, I practice the Dalton Roadhouse. We're going to talk about that. The Dalton Roadhouse version of be nice. That's my mantra until it's time to not be nice. And the people that I know who say that they're trans and they aren't like far left. And I'm not here to argue and justify. As long as you're not telling me what to do and you're not messing with kids and grooming and all that stuff. I mean, people are adults, and if they choose to do certain things, I mean, it's their lives to that extent. Just don't come in my bathroom. But this is, I don't know, it's mockery. And I feel like a lot of it is mockery, if I'm being honest. I feel like a lot of it is mockery because they're playing to a stereotype to mock women. Like, this is a stereotype. No woman lays around all day, sits on her ass in lingerie. That is still a man's version of what he thinks a woman is. It's really weird because Dylan Mulvaney is a dude, and he is, through his dude perspective, stereotyping women and representing them, again, as pill-popping skanks that all they do is sit around and drink. That's his view of women. It's almost like he hates them. He hates us. Because I don't know why you would represent someone in that way. It's not a flattering portrayal. It's not a flattering representation. I mean, if you notice, whenever he does this, it's always to portray women in the most negative of light. That isn't empowering. It's misogyny. Oh my gosh, and I just cringe to death. Can we stop? Good night. I'm just tired of it. So it's the days of girlhood. And I guess, what is he like going to be a singer now? Is that what it is? Too many people can be singers too easily anymore. Thanks, Auto-Tune. I hate you. Can you imagine if a dude was doing this, not as and wasn't trans, but just doing this as like a way to kind of make a joke about women, women would be mad. But do you understand what I'm saying? How he takes every stereotype, the way that every bad caricature of women, he takes that and uses it, and then that's his representation. It is still a very progressive, patriarchal view of what women are. Women do not look at other women like this. Women do not see themselves like this. Progressive men do. Do you see? He's still a progressive man. And he can put as much lipstick on and do, you know, he can try to get it to where it's harder to detect with a basic neck check, all he wants to. But you can tell he's a dude by the way that he portrays women and by how he views them. And I don't mean like a dude, like, I'm not saying that I'm saying it not as a gentleman. He's not a gentleman. It's the most debased, leftist male view of what women are. That's how he sees women, because that's how he portrays them every single time. It's not funny. It ticks me off because these are the people. I mean, What kind of message is that sending to youth? Speaking of that, let me pull this up. I wanted to come back to this because I just totally jettisoned my last headline segment for it. Kane, this is in our home state, Missouri. So Olivia Rodrigo, this was in our hometown of St. Louis. Now Juan says Olivia is actually talented because back in the days of yore, I don't know, whenever I would watch an old movie, it seems like women could be smart, pretty, and talented. Now it's like you're lucky if you get two of the three, right? It seems like our gene pool is shallow. I don't know. But Juan says that she's actually talented. Does she sing well? Is that what it is? I've never. Okay. He says like, yeah, she sings well. I mean, she's pretty. But see, he's like, I don't know about the smart is what he had said on break. Can I say that? You said that. He's like, I don't know about the smart. So see, can't have all three. I love how they describe this. NBC says, pop star Olivia Rodrigo, a vocal advocate for women's reproductive rights. Can we stop right there with the language? Is someone barring you from having to sex? Are they going, no, Olivia, you can't get down. Mm-mm. You can't get with that person. Mm-mm. No strange for you. You can't get with them, right? No one's saying that. Have you ever seen anyone? Has anyone ever said that to her? No one's ever said that to me. What does women's reproductive rights mean? They act like men who wear big hats that say Republican on them, big old top hats, like old vaudeville villain style, are running around out there telling women that they can't engage in intercourse with other people when they feel like it. No one has ever told a woman that. What they are telling them, however, is that you have a choice before conception. And then after you conceive a child, it's not considered reproductive anymore. You're ending a life. That's science. Now, you can dress it up with whatever language you want to make yourself, you know, feel better and sleep better at night. But it's still ending a life. Don't sit here and try to acquit yourself of culpability by calling it something that it isn't and doing this Olympic backbending rhetoric, you know, these rhetorical feats to try to avoid acknowledging what you're actually doing. So at this concert stop in St. Louis, the concert was, it's her Guts concert, Kane. Not to be confused with the character of the anime. It was a berserker. It was at Enterprise Center. Fans were sharing photos on social media of emergency contraceptive pills. Can I just talk about that for a moment? Now, rape or incest amount to less than 1% of all abortions required, and that's from Planned Parenthood's own publicly available statistics. So let's establish that. We are not going to use a rarity to argue for a universal rule. We're not doing that. So it said they handed out emergency contraception. You know when I hear emergency contraception? All the jokes fire off in my head. Oh no, I accidentally fell down and had sex. Oops. Emergency. Yeah, it's an emergency. I got to do something after that. I accidentally had to sex. What? I got to do something. This is bad. Dangerous. So they were handing out this emergency contraception and they were saying, oh, it's banned in Missouri. It's not actually banned in Missouri, but you know, you can, again, that doesn't make it truer to lie about what actually is available and what isn't. And even NBC was like, oh, it's illegal in Missouri. It isn't. And you still have instances of rape or incest, mother's health, all of that. I mean, that's actually codified. That's a part of every state law. I don't know why these people, well, I know why they lie. They lie about it because they don't actually care about those instances. They use those instances as excuses, but then they pretend that those instances aren't actually allowable by law already and even were predating Roe. I'm just for the sake of an argument, even if it isn't in your state, how horrible of a woman's advocate are you that you saw this coming, the Jackson Women's Health case that essentially kicked Roe from a federal issue to a state issue? How horrible of an advocate for women are you that you saw this coming for years? Ruth Bader Ginsburg warned everyone about it when she was still alive, and yet you did nothing to organize or do anything in your state to make sure that what you wanted was still allowable, especially in these blue states where this has happened. You have even less of an excuse. So all of that stuff is still, that is still protected. That's still allowable. Women's health, rape or incest. And again, the rape or incest accounts for less than 1%. And according to Planned Parenthood's own statistics, most abortions are older women who already have kids. And it is a form of birth control. And I mean, I'm talking like 90-something percent of it. Now, these aren't my numbers. These are literally Planned Parenthood's numbers. Again, publicly available on this thing called the internet. It's amazing. Have you guys heard about it? You can find memes there. It's so fun. And so they push this lie because they think you're stupid, which I think is actually kind of misogynistic itself, since we're on the subject. They think you're too stupid. All of this stuff is still, it's actually law, but apparently they don't care enough about it to admit that to you. So they pretend that it doesn't exist. And then they fear monger. Which brings me back to this act. She slammed the Supreme Court's decision at her set in Glastonbury. She said, I'm devastated and terrified. So many people are going to die because of this. What do you mean they're going to die? What? How would they die? Let's like stop the over-the-top, ridiculous, damsel in distress, dramatic language. How are they going to die? I would love for someone to articulate that to me. Unless you're like, you know, talking about doing a self-blending maneuver with a coat hanger, which, again, that was something that was played up back in the olden days. Seriously, what are you talking about? Women are going to die. The things that you're talking about that you use as the excuse all the time, it's a Mott Bailey argument. They can't go out and say, well, we just want it. I mean, again, Democrats literally co-sponsored or they wrote the bill that was in the Senate. Raphael Warnock was one of the co-sponsors during the special election. This came up. It demanded abortion on demand, taxpayer funded up till the moment of birth. I am not even exaggerating in the slightest. I read the bill. I linked it. I wrote about it. It's a big deal. And there were a ton of Democrats that had signed on to that. That's their official position. Remember when they used to say safe, legal, and rare? Yeah. All the time, funded by you, up until birth. I'm just waiting for them to go, well, what about after birth? I'm just waiting. I mean, that's like, feel like that's a line they're going to cross at some point. So they say this stuff, and they're like, oh, well, women are going to die because of this. What are you talking about? Women are going to die. Babies will. Women babies will. Our partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Black Rifle Coffee. This is a veteran-owned coffee company, and they make the best coffee out there. And veteran-owned, veteran-operated, and they employ active duty and retired veterans. I have Black Rifle Coffee every morning. It's delicious coffee. The Tactisquatch is my jam right now. And it's just good coffee. I think a lot of people have a problem with successful veteran businesses. They're usually on the left, and they try to psyop the right about it because Black Rifle Coffee poses such a threat to Starbucks and all these other, you know, bad companies out there that don't make as good a coffee. So be aware of that. A lot of people are being baited into being these like leftist tools for them to go after veteran-owned companies because unfortunately, not a lot of people like veterans anymore, apparently. But Black Rifle Coffee Company, the best coffee that is out there. I proudly drink it every damn day. And it's delivered right to your door. No shipping fees. When you join the coffee club, pick your roast. Pick how often you want it delivered, whether you want the AK-47, the Tactisquatch, the Silencer Smooth, Thin Blue Line. That's the medium roast that supports law enforcement. The Freedom Fuel Dark Roast. Set your delivery schedule and you are done. You're going to save money on coffee while never running out. It's delivered right to your door free. From shipping fees. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month using code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee, actually roasted, not just claimed, but actually roasted right here in America. It's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
Wages are rising faster than prices, and now we have among the lowest inflation rates of any country in America, and we're still fighting to lower it even further.
I'm sorry, what? Any country in America, out of any country in America?
Lowest inflation rates of any country in America.
What country are we in, Kane?
That would be America. Dana.
I thought, oh, we're not in Texaca?
No, I wish we were. I wish it was called Texaca.
What? California? I mean, what country is he talking? What does he do this stuff? That was obviously, you know who that was. That was President Daddy Showers there, who I guess is confused. He just needs to, Democrats should not let him just go out and make speeches anymore. They actually just need to get somebody else. I don't know what party can be more dumber, ours or theirs. I really don't. Because they, in a time when they could actually jump off and use as a leverage their incumbency, it's actually a drag. And they're going to risk everything. They're going to gamble on that dude, that old fart who falls upstairs. Can't even define a woman. What's a woman? Can't even define it. All right. So coming up in our next hour, we got hour two on the way. We got to talk about some of the latest with the border, the Haitian deluge that's expected. We're also going to talk to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey about that case of the 15-year-old nearly beaten to death in Missouri. Stick with us. As we move, our partners that help bring you free radio, the Kel-Tec Sub 2K. It reads as Sub 2000. I've literally had people say, well, I type Sub 2K, and I went, Sub 2000. This is the Gen 3 version, 9mm carbine, and it's gun origami. Now, previously, I have the older version, so I have to take my optic off to fold it in half, but the thing folds in half, and it's cool. Gen 3, you don't have to remove your favorite optic to fold it in half. I mean, it's a simple twist and fold of the patent pending rotating forend in either direction. It folds it straight up in half and just as quickly and easily deploys it, optics and all. And there's other upgrades that they have as well. The upgraded aluminum trigger, redesigned mechanics, lightened 5-pound pull, more precise feedback, the upgraded action. You got a redesigned operating handle, ambidextrous bolt hold open, lightened action for easy racking, new chamber indicator as well, and made right here in the U.S. of A. Family-owned company based in Florida, family-owned values at their best. To learn more about the Sub 2K Gen 3, visit KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
And guess where the federal money is and why it's being held up?
Why?
The Republicans in Congress and in the Senate said no because Donald Trump called them up one night, the night before they should have voted on this, to send 2,000 more agents or Border Patrol people to the border. I need some on the northern border, by the way. We border Canada. Money for states like New York that would have helped us a lot. And just have a different path to citizenship and look at the asylum and whether it's too loose right now the way it's being used and probably abused. So I blame the Republicans now. The mess was bipartisan before that. Democrats and Republicans have not successfully found a way to have a path to legal citizenship because the employers want this.
And so that never happened. The call that she's talking about literally never happened. That's like such an old debunked talking point. In fact, Trump didn't even actually attach on in terms of support for that bill until like way, way later, until it was about he wasn't there whipping votes. He wasn't calling. But is she high? Like, don't need to rewrite history. There's literally a Politico piece about this. What's the matter with you? Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this first hour. And this is the big thing that's happening with all of this, because it's not just at the southern border. It's at the northern border, too. You know, you think that she's a Democrat. She's governor of New York. It's kind of an important state to Democrats. You think that she would be able to let Joe Biden know about all of this. And so maybe he could give her a little bit of help there at the northern border, because we've talked about that before. On this program, how that's also being exploited. But you also have this huge issue with this Haitian deluge that's coming in because of everything that has been happening in Haiti. We've gone over how their prime minister left, went to Puerto Rico. Dominican Republic was not going to let this guy in. You've got these crazy gangs that have taken over. One of them is apparently a cannibal gang. I got to pull this piece up because one of the gangs that took over was apparently called the Big Satan. Did you hear about the Big Satan gang? That apparently, this is a Colombian gang, but they have, apparently they have ties in with some of the Haitian gangs. Oh, they're called the Satans. Oh, the Satans. There you go. But Oh, and by the way, the leader of that gang, the Colombian gang for that, is trying to seek asylum in the United States right now. Yeah. So we're going to touch on that as well. But the situation with everything that's going on in Haiti is it's sending now all of these people into all of these other different nations. And I'm actually going to be on Fox Business. I think it's with Dagan McDowell later on today. I think it's top of the 5 p.m. Central hour. Because remember I told you when I came back from break last week, you know, a little island like Turks and Caicos, a member of the British Commonwealth, they're being overrun, absolutely overrun, to where it's difficult for actual native people who born and raised on Turks and Caicos to find work. It's a strain on their resources. It's a strain on their schools, their everything. They are spending like over $20 million for their tiny economy a year to repatriate Haitians back to Haiti. And it's costing a lot. They're not getting any real help from Britain, who, because that's a territory, they also fall under their protection. They're not getting help from them on that. And that's going to get worse. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. But now we're going to see this at the southern border. And we're seeing it in Florida, because I was telling you yesterday how the Florida governor has sent out, I mean, what do you've got? National Guard, you got all kinds of military, law enforcement, and sending everything out. I mean, they have literally been stopping vessels in the water and sending them back. I mean, there was a report on Twitter that I just literally saw several hours ago about that. So I'm waiting for the DOJ to go after them now for it, like they've gone after Jan Brewer and they've gone after Abbott and these other border state governors. Huge issue. And it's going to get worse. So like I said, it's going to get worse because of what's now, let me pull this story up, what is now happening in Britain. So I was reading this piece over at the BBC this morning, and it gets into the Tories. This is going to make sense to you in a moment. That's their conservative for them group. Let's be careful. It's their conservative for them group, right? And I think what their next general election, they have a parliamentary system. So I think their next election is like January in the next year. There might be still time to turn it around, but they're getting just beaten to death in the polling. You have the Labour Party, which are basically communists. And by basically, I mean they are. And you have the Tories. And then you have a little bit more of a conservative party. Tories would be considered Democrats here. The Labour Party would be considered the Bernie Sanders, entirely Bernie Sanders party. That's how that, I mean, they're straight up far left. And so they are having some difficulties. They've had conservatives. They've been in charge for the past 13 years, I think. And they've worked, because it's a parliamentary system, they've had coalitions, they've had to work with some other, you know, lesser powerful parties in parliament. They've been a little divided. They've had trouble pushing back on labor with a number of issues. And now it looks like, because of the immigration issue, which is one of the biggest issues right now in the UK, all of that, it looks bad for them right now. And you have this piece. This is the BBC piece I was telling you about. Lee Anderson, ex-Tory MP, defects to Reform UK. And that's Nigel Farage's Reform Party. And this guy's apparently the first member of that party to serve in Parliament. And he's leaving the Tories because the Tories, the more conservative party, they have representation in Parliament, but the Tories, it's like the Republicans here, right? You want a more conservative party, but that's the big party that has the most influence and the most weight, the name recognition, etc. It's very similar. Anyway, long story short, they could get totally just annihilated in the next election. And you got a lot of people who've been able to come up and be very establishment and not follow through on a lot of the stuff that they promised their folks in Britain, etc., etc. The reason I bring all of this up, and I don't want to get into the weeds with all of it, but the reason that I bring all of this up is because if they end up losing to Labour in Parliament and you end up having a very far left government in the UK, that is going to affect I mean, it will also even, it trickles down to affect everything, including Commonwealth nations, policy for everything. They have, you know, trade agreements. They have, you know, it's like a, it's a, sort of like a friendship alliance. But that also comes in with protection. And what was I just telling you a little bit ago? How, for instance, to use as an example, Turks and Caicos isn't getting a lot of help from the British government, at least according to every single person born and raised there that you ask. And how does that improve if you have Labour in charge of Britain? How does that improve? How does that improve? Because they are open borders people. And they don't just believe that for themselves. Labour believes that for everybody else that's associated with the Commonwealth. They think, yeah, open borders are great. It will get worse. So that's kind of, I mean, that's my perception of it. I don't see how it doesn't. Now, I want to touch on this thing with this Colombian gangs. Imagine calling your group the Satans. This Colombian gang, because you have, they have roots in Venezuela. They also have some roots in Haiti. And they had one guy who, one of the Venezuelan, I guess the Venezuelan chapter of the Satans. He was captured in Texas Tuesday this week, Kane.
Oh, really?
Los Satanas. Yeah. Really? The Satans, yeah, he was captured. And they operate mainly out of Bogota, Colombia. And he was somehow, I'm looking at this, in January, able to apply for asylum in Texas. This is even after drug trafficking, murder, I'm literally scrolling, extortion, assault, weapons charges, human trafficking, drug trafficking. I'm still scrolling. You get the idea, right? That's this guy's record. This individual, his last name, Pirella, Ervis Pirella, he shot, well, he apparently organized assassins to shoot a butcher shop owner and an employee. So I don't know. And they've got video of him literally doing it. They've got video of him committing crimes. They've got the CCTV stills of him committing crimes. And so he was able to slip past authorities, flee the country. They say that he illegally crossed into Panama via the Darien Gap. That's the very densely trek through Central America. I feel like he wouldn't have anything to worry about because that area is the area where they say, if you're coming from South America and you're going through Central America, all of this stuff, that's like one of the most dangerous areas to pass if you're women or children. This guy, though, not so much, right? I mean, he's a killer. And he was able, he literally was arrested. New Braunfels, Texas, came. Look that up on a map. How far away is that from us? Go ahead and look it up. How far away? Because I think sometimes, like some of the more moderate people in northern Texas, they think, oh, that's not so far away. It's not. Not if you just hop on a highway. You just whoop, come right up. It's not. Yeah. How close is that?
Is this outside San Antonio?
Yeah, New Braunfels, Texas. It's.
I would say maybe 4.5 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, 4.5 hours.
I mean, the guy was able to go through the Darien Gap. So 4.5 hours, a good highway, is nothing. Yeah. Absolutely nothing. In Texas. So can you imagine who else is coming over? He was seeking asylum. Now, the left is like, yes, anyone who seeks asylum, they should get asylum. And this guy coming out of Bogota.
Yeah, out of Bogota. Asylum. And the Remain in Mexico policy was what prevented this stuff. Remain in Mexico. And when Biden rescinded that in his first, within his first 100 days of taking office, This is what we're seeing. We're seeing incredibly dangerous people like this just walking over, claiming asylum, and walking right in.
Completely. And it's, how many from Colombia? How many from this gang? How many from Venezuela? How many, think of the criminal elements from Haiti with the gang there? Because I'm going to, we've already had a bunch of looking at my tags and my bookmark system. Yeah, we already had a huge exodus, a bunch of illegal immigrants, thousands already crossed. This was the NBC affiliate in Houston that reported this. There was also a report back in 21, why are Haitian illegal aliens gathering at the border? I think there are some that try to claim asylum, but then again, this guy did too, so you can't necessarily trust it. You can't necessarily trust it. So there were all of these. So you have this gang, this Bogota gang. You have the Port-au-Prince, the Haitian gang. You've got stuff coming out of Venezuela. I'm not even getting into like some of the others, the Mexican, you know, cartel members that have been caught and all this other stuff. I'm not even talking about the Middle Eastern terrorists that have been caught. We don't even know how many gotaways? 1.8 million. 1.8 million gotaways. This is what's happening at the border right now. And it's going to get worse as we move our partners over at Patriot Mobile, the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the nation. They don't have any kind of ByteDance or any of that ownership involved with them. And the important thing to remember about Patriot Mobile, like I said, over 10 years now, this is the service I actually use. Like, my whole family uses Patriot Mobile, and I have great coverage. I mean, they have great customer service and great coverage. In fact, dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but most importantly, you're not funding the left. A lot of these big cell phone companies, they do that. And when you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're putting momentum behind the issues that you support, and you're protecting those even further than just at the ballot box. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. And they have 100% U.S.-based crew. They make switching easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make that switch today. PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Neil Young, they all come back. He announced, okay, I'm done being away from Spotify now. He was mad over Joe Rogan. So he says he's coming back, guys. Aw, he's coming cha-ching back.
Missing that money.
Missing that cash. I remember one time, this was like, we're right around Parkland. Everybody, Rolling Stone to Deadline Hollywood, everybody started like digging through everything digitally, and they found that I hated Neil Young. I made two tweets about this dude, right? Two tweets. I said that his vocal tonality resembled that of a dying cow fart, but I can't make fun of him too much because my stepdad liked him, right? And they literally found him at South by Southwest, and they asked him, they shoved a microphone in his face, and they asked him about it because the press sucks so bad. How lame is that? Anyway, so he's going back to Spotify because they all come back, guys. The allure of the green is too great. I am not surprised about this. Someone please tweet this to my husband, as many people as possible. Playing with dogs yields a powerful burst of brain activity, and it improves your mood and mental sharpness, because I want more dogs. Yeah, I'm telling you, that's an official scientific study that's done by highly respected scientists. It is. I'm not making fun of it. It is. So don't mess with it. This seems like this is obvious. They say decluttering your life can save your mental health. So I'm a weird person in that my desktops will be a mess, but if you open my drawers, it's psycho. The level of organization, if you open, oh my gosh, it is psychotic. And I don't know if that's what that speaks to, but they said that clutter and mental health, blah, blah, blah. When clutter is winning, mental health is losing, eliminate clutter, get rid of clutter. I get it. Spring is a great time to declutter. Sean King, Talcum X, he's converted to Islam in, quote, solidarity with the Gazan residents because he's a doucher. And a cat fell into a vat of toxic chemicals and walked away. The city is on alert. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey joins us next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, this is a criminal act. This is an assault. This looks like attempted murder. This is one student bashing in the head of another girl. And, you know, everybody can see it on the video. It's a terrible, terrible video. It's right there. This student ought to be tried as an adult. I mean, this is attempted murder. You got to throw these people in jail. What's happened is all these liberals have sent the message that it's okay to assault people. Crime is just okay. We'll look the other way. We'll make excuses. We'll pat you on the head. We got to stop this. Our kids now aren't safe in our own schools because of this kind of violence. It is time to get tough on crime, and that begins right here.
I think there's also a major problem with the youth today. That was Senator Josh Hawley from our home state of Missouri talking about this case of this 16-year-old girl. Her name is Kylie Gain. She has suffered, I'm looking at all the injuries, a skull fracture, frontal lobe damage, brain bleed. She is still in critical condition. She was in that video that went viral over the weekend where there was a group of teens fighting, one teen in particular, super aggressive. After Gain had even stopped fighting back, she took her head and was bashing it against the asphalt. And then in the video, as another girl pushed her off, you could see Gain on the ground, twitching and convulsing. It's bad. Welcome back to the show. Dana Loesch with you. Joining me now, the Attorney General of the great state of Missouri, Mr. Andrew Bailey. General, always appreciate your time. You spoke out about this and you said that, I mean, if this is looks like a homicide charge to you. Tell me about this, because I know information is still coming in. However, there were reports that the attacker had been talking about going and beating this girl up all day.
Yeah, Dana, look, I mean, my thoughts and prayers go out to the victim who's still in critical condition in a hospital here in St. Louis. And as a parent of four small children, I'm deeply disturbed that there's a culture of violence in this community that allowed this fight to escalate to this point. Let's not forget, the fight took place at 2:30 p.m. on a Friday afternoon in broad daylight on a public street, very close in proximity to where these teens attend school there at Hazelwood. And there are multiple teens involved. But if you watch the video, the attacker bludgeons the victim's head against the hard pavement repeatedly, even after having immobilized and rendered the victim unable to resist, continues to strike the victim's head against the hard concrete. This is clearly an intent to inflict serious physical injury at a minimum. That's a first degree assault. And the law.
Oh, we got it frozen just a little bit. Talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey. We're going to try to bring him back on. We've got that video in the meantime. Juan's playing for the simulcast. It is graphic. You can see it right out in the middle of the street. And there are other teens who intervene and stop. And it's bad. It is bad. I think we got the general back. You were saying because, too, and again, this was right out. This was near, not on the grounds of Hazelwood East High School, but it was right by it. I don't know what all went into it, but as you noted, at some point this girl was immobilized on the ground, but that the attacker kept going.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this is clearly an intent to inflict serious physical injury. That's a first degree assault. And under the Missouri state statute, the court is required to have a certification hearing to determine whether or not this juvenile should be tried as an adult. And when you've got teens of this age committing adult crimes, they absolutely need to be held accountable as adults. These kids have grown up watching Kim Gardner in St. Louis City not prosecute criminals. They think there are no consequences. They live in a district that's represented by Cori Bush, a congresswoman who's publicly demanded the defunding of the police. So they think that law and order doesn't mean anything. And it's time to use the tools on the books to hold the wrongdoers accountable and find justice for the victims of these sorts of assault.
Yeah. And the victims, I mean, critical condition still. It was hard to watch that video where she started convulsing. No matter, even if she wakes up, which I sincerely hope she does. I would love for her to just not have any issues at all. But after watching the aftermath of that, I don't see how she's ever going to be the same again. And what does that do to the severity of the charges? I know you mentioned homicide. Talk to people about the difference between, you know, if you're going to, why charging her with homicide as opposed to murder if, heaven forbid, this young woman does not wake up.
Yeah, well, anyone who's committing a felony and thereby causes the death of another is guilty of felony murder. So even if you're committing a robbery or a burglary that results in a felony and someone accidentally dies from that, that's still guilt for felony murder. And so there are several lines of liability here. At a minimum, this is an assault first, and anything above an assault first or higher requires a certification hearing. But Dana, look, there's a part of this story that the mainstream media isn't even covering. And that's the fact that this school district where all these teens were students has historically placed DEI programs, radical, racially divisive programs, ahead of the health and safety of the children. And so, again, you've got multiple teens involved here. Where was the school resource officer? Well, we know in 2021 that Hazelwood demanded that these SROs attend radical DEI training. The police department said, we're not doing that. And so the school district booted the SROs out of the school. These were police officers who could have prevented or detected this, investigated this sort of behavior before it elevated to this point. And one wonders, when you're promoting this kind of racially divisive indoctrination programming, what role that may have played in this sort of assault.
I think that's a legitimate question. I mean, I know we don't know if there's any racial motivations or anything like that, but, you know, you do bring up a good point, and Hazelwood East does have that sort of that history of cultural, societal, whatever, DEI, CRT programming within its school. Talking to Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, this is a problem that isn't even just limited to St. Louis. Over the weekend, and Kane and I were talking about this yesterday, I saw no fewer than like four or five videos which showed teenagers of all races, young, I mean, 14, 15 years old, attacking other people. I watched two teenage boys beat up an elderly man and take his walker away from him. This is such a problem with the youth. And also, you know, here we're having this big conversation about TikTok and the influence that has on our kids. Speak to that a little bit, because I'm sure you see that in your position. This is a very disturbing trend with America's youth right now.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We see it across the nation. Two youths that were involved in a shootout at the celebration parade for the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl in Kansas City a few months ago. I mean, again, it's a complete system failure. There's a culture of violence amongst these youths, and they believe there won't be accountability. You know, when I got out of the United States Army and moved to the city of St. Louis, I actually worked as an armed guard at the Family Court Juvenile Division at Vandeventer in Del Mar. And that's not only the juvenile court, but also the juvenile detention facility. And what we saw was that adults were coercing the youth to commit the crimes for them because the adults didn't want to go to prison, but could tell the youth, hey, look, you're going to go to juvenile court. Nothing will happen. And so all too often you see a 14-year-old commit a carjacking and racing 100 miles per hour down the city streets in St. Louis. And it's because they've been coerced in this behavior by adult criminals. And so we've got to increase the punishments. We've got to add accountability. And what we need to do is use the juvenile code to take jurisdiction over these youth before it elevates to this point. In the state of Missouri, any youth who is demonstrating behavior injurious to themselves or the community, or who is beyond parental control, comes under the jurisdiction of the juvenile code. We need to use those tools to get a handle on this now so we don't have more adult criminals and more victims.
What do you say to those people who argue, well, the attacker may only be 15 or 16 years old. They made one mistake. I mean, I watched this video. I think if you're that brazen enough to do that, when you know people are recording, you've probably done some other stuff. And it's hard to say that that behavior changes as you get older.
Yeah, look, a 15-year-old knows better. And certainly this individual had rendered the victim incapable of fighting back and continued to assault that victim violently. So she had ample opportunity to disengage from the fight. What we know is that in the state of Missouri, over the past several years, the commitments to the Division of Youth Services by the juvenile courts has dropped precipitously. The juvenile system is sending less kids into the DYS system for treatment and rehabilitation. And I think this is one of the disastrous results from that kind of complacency or unwillingness to hold wrongdoers accountable. You're not doing the kids or the community any favor by turning a blind eye and ignoring criminal behavior.
Well, we're going to continue to watch this story. And I hope that this teenager, Kaylee Gain, I hope she does wake up. And I mean, it's just horrific, awful all around. And the people who were recording and didn't even do anything, they didn't intervene. I mean, I don't know what can be done in that case, but that's horrific because people get clicks off this content.
Yeah, it's absolutely disgusting. And again, we need to probe what role the school district played in this. If you look at their statement, it's very vanilla, very benign. They lack moral clarity on this issue. Mm. They don't have any sympathy for the victim. It's more about the community at large rather than calling out the wrongdoer for doing wrong. And I think that there's some culpability there as well.
I agree. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey, we always appreciate your fight on everything. I know we'll be talking with you again soon, and we'll continue following this story. Thank you, sir. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Of course. We are going to be rolling into Florida Man here very shortly. But yeah, this story, the GoFundMe has raised, I think so far, they were only going for $40,000 for medical bills, which I thought I'd said to you, Kane, at the time. I'm like, that's a pretty modest amount. Apparently now it's over $200,000. I honestly, because I think it probably within the first couple of days, that $40,000 is already met, if I'm being honest, because she's in intensive care. She's hooked up to all kinds of stuff. And that's the extent to which we know. But when you have a serious injury like that, it's, you know, good heavens, good heavens. When I saw her convulsing on the ground in that video, I'm like, there's no good that's going to come from this. This is horrific. But we'll continue watching this and follow it and bring you any updates. Some of the other things we got coming up, the economy, that $7.3 trillion budget, the tax hikes that are going to be coming if Biden gets his way. Yeah. Do you think the economy is bad now? Just wait. Consumer prices are up. And why is recruitment down again? Well, I've got a couple of different ideas as to why that might be.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
We ran out of time before I could fully explore this story yesterday. The dude who fell off his boat in the Everglades.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen the Everglades?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I get weird about water I can't see in anyway, and that includes most lakes. I get real weird, you know. I don't know what. Maybe there's a portal to hell underneath, and a big demon fish will come out and eat me. I don't know.
Could be.
You don't know. I mean, but this was in Homestead, Florida. A dude in the Everglades, he fell off his boat. This happened Sunday afternoon. It was the Flamingo Marina in the Everglades National Park. So he went to the alligator's house, right? 68 years old. He somehow capsized his sailboat in the Marina Basin. Wait, I want to know what this looks like. Hold up. We're going to look at this right now. The Flamingo Marina. I want to see photos because if it's what I think it looks like, yep, that's exactly what I think it looks like.
Sounds festive.
Yeah, it sounds like you can't see the bottom of that water. And if I were to pick out a photo of where the gators live, I'd pick all of these photos that just came up. That is, you know, if a gator was on, what's that house buying show on HGTV? You know, and they were taking the gator around Florida and being like, what about this house? And he'd be like, that's perfect for me. So this guy fell off his boat, the Flamingo Marina, according to National Park Services. I don't know how. He capsized the damn thing. And witnesses were watching him swim to shore, and then he went under. Dun, dun, dun. Park rangers responded. He had a laceration on his leg. He was transported to a hospital in stable condition. But he got, it was actually not a gator in this one. This apparently was a croc.
Yeah.
So it was a crocodile. Now, here's the, for those of you who do not know, a federally threatened species, crocodiles are less common than alligators in Florida because their habitats, although their habitats do overlap. Alligators are darker, have broader snouts, and are typically found in freshwater, while crocodiles have narrower, more triangular heads and often prefer coastal brackish and salt water.
Do crocodiles wear crocs?
It's a good question, but do you know what I gather from that explanation of differences?
What's that?
It's irrelevant because there are giant fish lizards with teeth and are fast and will kill you in all types of water. So that's what you take away from this class, is that everything's terrifying there. They're like the Australia of America. Okay, so now that, remember the other guy I was telling you about who was bit? Jiminy. I got all these people getting bit. By the way, that guy said he didn't feel no pain, nothing, and he doesn't know why when the croc bit his leg, and he wasn't scared. So the other guy who got bitten by his hand, he said at first he didn't know what was holding him. He didn't know what was happening. A gator bites your hand off and you don't know what's going on? I would assume that if I feel so much as a pinch in the water, it's a gator trying to eat me. I don't have to feel anything and I will assume a gator's trying to eat me. This story, this is classic. This sounds like an Arrested Development skit or scene from Arrested Development. Florida DUI lawyer arrested after drunken altercation at Wawa. Police say that he apparently said, "You don't know who I am." Is that supposed to mean something? This criminal defense attorney and DUI lawyer, he looks mad in his mugshot, found himself behind bars. He had a drunken fight with his girlfriend at a Wawa. Pravesh Rumala, 54, was arrested and charged with disorderly intoxication. They responded to the gas station. Someone reported a physical disturbance. Rumala was bear hugging a woman, trying to pull her away and causing a, quote, terrible scene. One witness a few gas pumps away said she saw Rumala wrestle with the woman who had the gas pump in her hand. The girlfriend told police they just left a bar and he drank too much. And he said he maintained he didn't do anything wrong. But police say, and this usually is a dead giveaway, by the way, that they could immediately tell that he was drunk based on the fact that he couldn't string a sentence together and smelled like a can of beer. That will indicate drunkenness.
When
police ask Ramal if he was drinking, he goes, quote, yeah, of course, who cares? And then he goes, I know the law. I'm a lawyer. There's no law against being drunk. Yeah, when you're wrestling a lady at the gas station, though, when you're drunk and making a scene and making people wonder if you're whipping her. I don't know. It's just my, you know, I just might be kind of. These stories are, this is bad. This is mean. This is like elderly. I bet they get the elderly abuse charge with this. A Florida woman is accused of setting up her 73-year-old date to be robbed by her ex-boyfriend in Daytona Beach. Okay, so she's 34. He's 73. I'm sure she likes him for his heart. And they were
soon to fail.
Yeah, she was arrested because she got her boyfriend, Chelsea Wright, 34, got her boyfriend, 33-year-old Andrew Marks. He hit the 73-year-old date over the head with a metal object and robbed him. The man arrived at the hospital, the victim, at 5:30. He had to be treated for his injuries. And the deputy said that he met with the woman at a Daytona Beach bar. They were discussing their romantic relationship. And she told him, "We'll come back to my house." He agreed. He followed her in his car. And then she pulled over to pick Marks up from the side of the road, dropped him off near her house. When the man got out of the car at the alleged destination, that's when the Marks guy reappeared and hit him with a pipe, I'm assuming. So the interview, she told deputies that the attacker was an elderly, crazy woman with Alzheimer's. And she picked up that person on the side of the road, and they just reappeared and beat him. She's a horrible liar. So they're both in jail. That's sad. Isn't that sad? That's a sad one. A Florida man wearing an Amazon uniform got caught on camera replacing a package with an empty box. I'll have that one for you tomorrow. Third hour on the way, though. A lot still to cover. Stick with us.
And that is not all. If he is reelected, the former president has openly said he intends to weaponize the Department of Justice against his enemies.
What? Is she talking about Joe Biden or Barack Obama? Surely she can't be talking about Trump, because his name doesn't sound like Obama or Biden. Nope. Right? Trump. Yeah. Obama. Biden. I mean, they.
Yeah.
Huh. Wow. Not even a letter shared. Huh. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. And, you can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program, watch the simulcast of the video component. And you can also follow along the discussion at YouTube. Find us on Substack as well, chapter and verse. All right, so, yeah, he's going to weaponize the Department of Justice. Don't get me started. Do not even get me started with this stuff. Are you kidding me? Kane?
Yes, ma'am.
So, if we wanted to talk about weaponization of agencies.
Oh, yeah.
I would go back. I'd go back to 2008. But we don't even have to go back that far. Let's go back to 2016. When you had Joe Biden's party that was working with Perkins Coie, and they hired a unregistered foreign agent that had been lobbying on behalf of Russian oligarchs. And they were trying to get some sanctions overturned against them. And they were selling, laundering Oppo through the media that they would then use to try to substantiate surveillance on private citizens, if you want to talk about weaponization. Or when they were going after political dissenters. Or when they were actually spying on members of the press. So much for that sanctity of the press. I mean, weaponizing the agencies, that's what you did. You just gave us a great opening to remind everybody that you literally did that. You did it. We did it, Joe. You did. Just I honestly don't believe, and I don't buy it as an excuse, that people are unaware. I think some people just don't care. And I particularly think that people on the far left, they don't care if they feel like it justifies the end, right? Oh, so what's with a little surveillance if it justifies the end, our goal? so what if we, you know, bent the law a little bit, spied on some people, you know, didn't even actually go through the proper protocol to get a FISA warrant to spy. I mean, it justifies the goal, right? Is the goal really that worthy if you have to bend the law to achieve it? That's rhetorical. The answer is no. The way they lied to you about the lockdown, everything. Now, because we can chew our food and walk at the same time, I wanted to tie that together, and I'm going to come back to that. You know, the weaponization and distrust of government agencies here in the United States. I've only followed this a little bit, but it was after this headline that I got mad. So I don't really pay attention to what happens with the British monarchy because I'm not British, and we fought a war to dispel that, right? So I don't care. But I do think it's interesting when the press, and it's very similar to the press here, when they make up a controversy. Now they have their whatever, their new Princess of Wales over there. She, I guess, had she had some surgery, some abdominal surgery, and she has, you know, three kids, and she, it sounded like, you know, I'm not a doctor and I don't know this lady, but it kind of sounds like, you know, if you're in the hospital for 10 days after abdominal surgery, and it sounds like it's maybe, I don't know, maybe it's like an issue with Crohn's disease. Maybe it's like a colon issue in which you would have to have a, you know, colostomy bag. And that's why she's not going to be in public until Easter or something. I don't know. I'm just guessing. But it seems like, you know, the timeline fits. Anyway, they'd said, oh, she's going to rest at home. She's not going to be out. So they had their Mothering Day, their Mother's Day. And they posted a photo on their Instagram account. And I guess they had photoshopped some stuff to make it look perfect because the press has to have everything perfect. And they've literally lost their ever loving mind over there. The conspiracy theories are so bad. My American friends are talking about it. It's affected my little pond over here. That's how bad it is. The spillover. They are acting like, you know how you, it's no different if, and we all have a friend who does this. Ladies, gents, we all have that one friend, right? She takes a selfie of herself. She takes any photo of herself and maybe her kids. And then they use some, I don't know what they use because I don't think you can do it in the Instagram thing. I've never found it. But they use some filter that blurs everything and smooths them over and it makes them look like they're printed on the top of a cake and not actual people, right? They're made of marzipan. It's like, girl, what'd you do to your skin? I'm made of marzipan. I'm a treat. And it's to the point where it's creepy, right? I had a friend, I hands to sky. I'm going to do it because it was hysterical. She filtered her damn photos so much. You know how you can tell that you have individual teeth? Y'all, it looked like one thing, one gum. It was so, so filtered, right? You couldn't even tell girlfriend had teeth. And it was a little bit further away, but not to the point where I can see, and whitened them. I guess she whitened her teeth. If you remember that episode of Friends when Ross Geller whitens his teeth, and then when they turn out the lights, it's like black light teeth, and they're so bright it hurts people's eyes. It was like that. And she was so, like, filtered. Her kids were all filtered. I'm like, I know for a fact that your son has acne. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but that boy does not look like he is a L'Oreal cover model. Stop it. Stop doing this stuff to y'all's pictures. Anyway, this thing with this Princess Kate of Wales thing wasn't even that bad. I don't know what they did. There was, like, they found, because there were people who have no lives that will sit here and go, let's blow this photo up. Looks like the edge of your cuff is blurry. Why did you Photoshop that? Well, I took the alien out, if that's what you're asking. I mean, what do you expect them to say? This is so stupid. So she came out and said that she'd Photoshopped it, right? And now the British press has lost their mind, and the Agence France Presse and all these other European agencies, because they need someone to hate, right? That one suitcase briefcase girl D-list game show person out in Montecito, she learned how to shut the hell up and get out of the way for a little bit and take some shade because everyone was getting too damn annoyed with her. So now the press has got to find somebody else. So they are calling it a fiasco. And now here's the headline from AFP. Kensington Palace can't be trusted after Kate Middleton fiasco. These are the same people who eagerly, and I went and I looked it up, AFP, These are the same people who went over and over and championed lockdowns and the injections and everything that the government gave them, they reported as gospel truth. I have yet to see a headline from that agency or any of these other press agencies that has the amount of fury at the lies we were fed by governments around the world over this that matches the fury they have over a stupid photo on Instagram from some princess in Britain. It is so dumb. This, you don't hate the press enough. You don't. However much you hate the press right now, you do not hate them enough. I promise. But I'm looking at this with great amusement. I'm looking at the headlines right now. Talking literally pieces that they have questioning the people who didn't get the injections or when they were trying to shame people in Italy when they wouldn't like get locked down when some of them were trying to go out without informing the police. Did you know that, right? We have a friend who owns a restaurant. His brother lives in Rome. And he was saying that whenever he wanted to take his dog out, however many meters he was going from his residence, he literally had to inform the local police before he did it. That's how locked down it was. But they are angrier over that photo, a photo like that over Instagram, more so than all the lies that their government and everybody else's government fed us all. They were supposed to do their due diligence as media. Are they trying to make up for it now? This is so stupid. Yeah, however much you hate the press, you don't hate them enough. They're garbage. They're absolute garbage. Just like how they were. I had another press story. Let me put this up. This story of this. Where do I have this at? It was the story of this trans student, Nex Benedict. Did you hear about this? They were trying to say that this trans teen was bullied to death. But actually, in reality, when some of the reporting came out, this teen was actually the bully and had had numerous instances with other classmates before and actually had a drug overdose. They weren't bullied to death, but the press twisted it so they could try to get a sad tale that helped to boost their narrative. Again, however much you hate the press, you don't hate them enough. They're garbage. They're absolute garbage. But I saw that headline and I absolutely had to share it because I this is so insane. Like, where are they at, by the way, also on the economy? For instance, consumer prices rose 0.4% in February, 3.2% from a year ago. But we were told that everything's fine. Listen to this. Audio Soundbite 7 is Janet Yellen talking about all the credit card debt that people are now accruing because everything is so expensive. But listen to her, how she justifies it.
How long do you think this credit card debt accumulation can continue?
Well, credit quality remains excellent, and charge-off rates, delinquencies have moved up slightly, but from historically low levels. Most households, even including the lowest income households, saw their overall financial position improve. During the pandemic, their average level of cash balances went up. Their overall finances improved.
Like,
now, over time, they've spent some of that buffer of savings, and particularly lower income households are borrowing again on credit cards. I see that as a normalization.
Is she trying to bore him to death? Is she an energy
disturbing
vampire?
New trend.
She kind of reminds me of that costume designer on The Incredibles. That's a hobo suit, darling. She kind of reminds me of that person. But she does totally dress like a villain. She looks like a villain there. Also kind of like if you made Hillary Clinton smaller and just silvered her hair, similar villain dress. She says that, you know, I see it as normalization rather than a disturbing new trend. That's what she was saying. Janet Yellen sees everyone spending money they don't have because things are so expensive and the price of goods are outpacing wages thanks to government spending. She sees that as normalization. Of what? Debt? What? What is the normalization of? Debt? Why is she in charge of Treasury stuff, Kim?
That's a great question.
It's just normal. If you're broke and you put everything on credit cards. It's not a disturbing new trend. It's normal. It's, That's their justification for it, to avoid any accountability for their economic policies tanking the nation. Can you believe that? They'll throw you all under before they'll be accountable, held accountable. Rick Santelli, audio soundbite 6, was explaining that, yeah, the inflation, you know, that she said was transitory and it's not. Listen to him talking about how it's actually more than what they thought it was going to be.
Let's start out with PPI, then we'll go to retail sales. February PPI headline number expected to be up 0.3%. Zoom, 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 up double, up 0.6%. That would be the hottest going back to, well, equals July of last year. To find a higher number, you're going back to June of 22 when it was up 0.9%.
And they're going to spend more. Audio soundbite 3. Well, we're going to get to this. We'll get to this because Biden is saying, oh, that Inflation Reduction Act, he says it's the most significant investment. $7.3 trillion budget is calling for tax hikes. We're going to discuss that. We're going to dive into all of that. We also got a lot more as well, including got some culture stuff as we move and go towards our headlines segment here.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Okay, so I wanted to come back to this because I only was able to tell you the headline in the first hour. A cat fell into a vat, rhymes, of toxic chemicals and walked away. A city is on alert. This was in Fukuyama, southwestern Japan. Otherwise an unremarkable scene, but public health warnings were blasted across the city because hours after surveillance footage captured this cat leaving the Nomura plating factory, on Sunday night, workers discovered a trail of yellow-brown paw prints leading away from a container of toxic and potentially deadly substance. So it's in the Hiroshima Prefecture. They think that the cat fell into the container before escaping. And it's the chemical is chromium 6. It's super toxic. How is the cat alive? That's a tough cat. How is that cat alive? Anyway, they are looking for it. The chromium 6 thing that was in that movie with Julia Roberts, that one movie where she was like, it's a boob, Zed. I don't remember what it's called. She was the lawyer who was in like booty shorts. What's that?
I don't even know.
I don't know what it was. It came out when I was in school and I wasn't a fan of it.
Brockovich stuff? I have no idea.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That thing. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so that one. 24-year-old selling human bones. I don't think you can do that. I mean, maybe you can. This guy has like, John Ferry is this, oh, shut up, you auto video, osteology, and he apparently has a giant collection of bones, and he says they're responsibly sourced human remains, okay. Meaning they weren't murked. Okay. So, I mean, I guess you can do that. That makes sense. Anna Carthy claims he drove about 260 miles per hour in a crash that killed a woman. How are you doing? You're not doing 260. Stick with us. We got a lot more in store after this.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There are also cities all across America where highways used to be, and they, along, you know, redlining, along with redlining, they disconnected entire communities.
What the hell is he talking about? You know, highways used to be, and they along, you know, red. What was he trying to say, Joe Biden, just then?
I don't know, but he said cities all across America where highways used to be. And then he went on some red line thing.
Can I hear it one more time? I'm sorry. Just like,
Juan, you got that?
The transcript.
There are also cities all across America where highways used to be.
There are.
And they along, you know, redlining, along with redlining, they disconnected entire communities.
Is he talking about the post-World War II Democrat policy of their urban, quote-unquote, revitalization and expansion? Is that what he's talking about, that actually displaced historically minority communities on purpose? Democrats did that? I don't know. That's the only thing I can gather.
But
he has no idea.
Where are the cities across America that were replaced, like where highways used to be? Where are these cities?
Did Kamala write that?
I don't get what's happening.
Unburdened by what has been.
This is our president.
I need his words to make sense. Or is he saying, and first off, welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you here. Bottom of this third hour. Kane and I are just trying to figure out what the hell he was saying. is he saying that there are like cities somehow isolated in the country that no one can get to because there's no highways?
Here's what he's, listen.
There are also cities all across America where highways used to be.
Cities all across America where highways used to be.
So there's no highways there? There's cities there?
So now there's cities, but no highways.
What? Somebody give him some of Hunter's cocaine. For the love.
What's going on?
Juice him up, man. Make him make sense, Jack. Jiminy Christmas. I can't even, man. I can't with that.
Put some of that magic dust in his cookie dough ice
Yeah,
cream.
Get some of that booger sugar, yo. Get some of that stuff out of the White House cubby. Ooh, that's a totally, completely not even a part of anything with the show. That would be a great bar name, White House Cubby.
White House Cubby.
Trademark. I'll sue you. Kidding.
There's probably a lot
White
of
House
crime,
Cubby.
Probably a lot of crime that happens there.
That you could mean really, a couple of things.
But you can't really tie to anyone.
You know, it could be like, you know, it could say Hunter Biden inspired White House Cubby. It could just be like a mixology place. Isn't that what they call basic bartending mixology? I don't know.
Powdered
sugar. I don't need like syrups and herbs and stuff in my drinks. Just, you know, I don't know. We were having a big talk about this, like, because Steve was saying, because, you know, it's St. Paddy's Day coming up, and I am descended from some Irish. Our culture isn't your costume. You're never going to hear any Irish people say that because they don't care. They're too busy fighting. They don't care because they don't get butthurt about this stuff. Like, they don't need to, even though they've also been picked upon and discriminated against throughout American history, they don't get all butthurt about it. But Steve was like, yeah, he's going to brunch it up. I love that millennials are like bringing back brunch because Gen X never brunched. Gen X doesn't brunch. Is that a boomer thing?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I think it's not a Gen X. I'm also Gen X. Well, I literally did I'm not Gen know X. About the whole brunch culture until I was an adult.
I'm Gen X, and I've done brunch like a handful of times.
A handful of times.
Yeah.
A handful, so not a lot.
Yeah, I'm not. I mean, I'm not necessarily a brunch guy, but
yes, you are.
I don't
Shut
mind.
Up. You are too. You got all excited about these Bloody Marys.
If I have an opportunity to order a Bloody Mary with a giant pizza on it or something, I'm going to probably try that.
We're going to bring the tugboat back to shore, but indulge us for a moment. Why do they got to be putting food items in the Bloody Mary? I don't need to be having like a whole menu of options right there. All these accoutrements in my... I don't need like a chicken wing and a slice of pizza,
I'll
you know?
The Bloody Mary
Olive's
with
fine.
With the all-you-can-eat buffet.
Anyway,
top.
Steve brought it up because it was St. Paddy's Day. So because since... What is it? It's... We're gonna be playing our St. Paddy's Day. I have a stellar, absolutely stellar St. Patrick's Day bumper list.
Don't miss tomorrow's show. It'll be a great tune. Don't miss.
Yeah, it's gonna be fantastic tomorrow. Our music always is. For those of you watching the simulcast, you don't hear it because the licensing is too expensive. But if you're hearing it terrestrially, we have like the best. I have the best St. Paddy's Day list, and I'll make it public. It's on Spotify.
Hands down.
But anyway. And it's not just the basic stuff. Like, we do deep cuts, dude. It's deep cuts. But anyways, long story short, Steve was saying that he was going to be brunching it up, you know, this weekend. And he was talking about the Bloody Marys, and there's like an Irish pub. And so we got started on all of that. But our culture is not your costume. You know, you're going to have people that are going to be wearing green and drinking beer and saying, luck of the Irish and all that, like, my lucky charms and all this stuff. And you're not going to hear nobody. Who's that? I don't know anybody who says, you know, my lucky charms, but they're not going to have anybody get upset about it. Wah, who cares? Irish were picked on. They were discriminated against. You're not going to hear nobody get all butthurt about it.
Cultural appropriation.
Yeah, no one's going to be like, you can't have that beer. That's appropriation. Although it would be fun to try to enforce it. No potatoes for you. You don't get to party this day. That's appropriation. So I don't know. I'm always fascinated by what, like, you never see people get all upset like that with St. Paddy's Day or Oktoberfest, right? When everyone's like, oh, Lederhosen, and they suddenly act like they are German. Oh, and some Bratwurst. And then all the, you know, they don't get the strudel. They don't get upset. Nobody gets upset. But my gosh, you eat a taco salad for Cinco de Mayo. The world loses its mind. Golly.
So you're saying no Irish coffee tomorrow then? What are you saying?
I don't like to put that stuff on my coffee. I want it black and bitter like my heart. I want it to like shake me like it's going to shake my teeth out of my head and be like, wake up. I don't need all that. I don't want to be sleepier. Do you like a little Bailey's? No, I don't. I wouldn't. I mean, I don't dislike it, but not in the morning. All right. Anyway, we do actually have a point in talking for our radio program, but we're very proud of the bumper list. So we got a great bumper list. Have you seen this story? It's the number of Gen Z who say that they're gay or bisexual has doubled to 22%. You're lying. They said women is twice as likely as men to be LGBTQ+. I think it's because it's overrepresented in everything. Absolutely everything. It is so overrepresented. I get mad if I see like girl power stuff overrepresented. I get so tired of all that stuff. It feels like it's offensive and it's patronizing at some point. Like how they do the Pride Day, all the companies are like, wait a minute, here's all our rainbow stuff. Let's make some money. Psychologists are debating whether or not it's a reflection of, right, really, you're going to debate it. We kind of know. Rising exposure to social media, which it is, because it's completely, entirely overrepresented. I like the Ricky Gervais stand-up routine he did because he was talking about all the people who like want to identify. They start trying to find an identity and they want to be different. And he did this whole bit on, you know, this guy, he was questioning someone and he was like, so, you know what, you know, asking him, because the guy was like, you know what, I'm queer now. He's like, you are? Yeah, I'm right queer. I'm proper queer, yeah. And he's like, you are? And he's like, yeah, me and my girlfriend, we're just a couple of queers. And he's like, wait a minute, what? It was such a funny bit. But I think a lot of people do it because they think the reason that this is going up is because of oversaturation, overrepresentation, and it's like the new way of shunning, I think, what they view as mainstream societal standards, which if they know anything about mainstream societal standards, you're playing into them, right? I don't get it. They said that women are twice as likely as dudes. Because I think guys find it hotter if women are. I have such an observation that I cannot make on air right now, but it's so true. You want to know why, Kane?
Why? No, actually, I don't.
It's because women don't necessarily want to be with a guy if they've known that.
Oh, boy. All right.
It's true, though.
Time to end it all.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong, actually. And I wish we could tell people.
I think they kind of know.
I think they probably do.
But I'm just saying, I'm not like making a declarative statement. I'm just saying, I think, you know, there's an observation there.
I just think this whole
speculation.
Movement, yeah, the whole movement also demonized masculinity.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that, you know, obviously women are, they're not going to be, you know, in this group and then, you know, identify as men.
I love how third wave feminism hates masculinity so bad that they are willing to debase themselves and get them to actually, like, become it. It's the wildest cell phone I've ever seen in my life. It's like they were infiltrated by the progressive patriarchy. Yes, yes, ladies. It's all going according to our plan. The vaudeville mustache. That's what it is. And you know it. That's exactly it. This is the wildest thing. It's so wild. One other story. You want to know why people are not enlisting? I had this. This is in your prep. A couple of things. First off, I saw this tweet from the Department of State. Remember the one tweet that they had where they were talking about alphabet rights, blah, 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 blah. And they did all this stuff and they came out with all these videos. Well, now you have West Point. Pull this up. West Point, right? West Point, they dropped duty, honor, and country, that motto, from its mission statement. And veterans are furious. The phrase It was added in 1998. It's going to be replaced with Army Values, according to Superintendent Lieutenant General Steve Gilland. And he says the new admission statement binds the Academy to the Army, while duty, honor, and country is foundational to Academy culture. Another statement has changed in the past, but what is wrong with duty, honor, and country? Like Army Values? What does that even mean? Why did you have to change it from duty, honor, and country? Because that seems like it's, that seems like a woke thing. And veterans are slamming it. People who went to West Point and these veterans are slamming it. They're saying that this is disgraceful. They got it from this, because it was a statement that was sent to West Point cadets on Monday. And that's apparently what, when they were notifying people, but they were saying that this is, you know, this is, what they, this was, even though it was adopted in 98, this is, you know, part of, you know, our culture. I'm the motto was introduced in 98, but they got it from this statement that MacArthur, General Douglas MacArthur had made in 1962. And they was, it was his speech where he had said, quote, "The long gray line has never failed us. Were you to do so, a million ghosts in olive drab and brown khaki, blue and gray would rise from their white crosses, thundering those magic words, duty, honor, country." And that's where they took it from. So why would they have to change it to Army Values? That's so dumb. It's because you have to take apart everything that's iconic to replace it with something new. It's 1984.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
Another law, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is the most significant investment in fighting climate change and advancing the environment ever in history anywhere in the world. That's not hyperbole.
Really? Fighting the climate's not hyperbole. I'm surprised he got that word out of his mouth without wandering off and talking about how highways don't exist anymore. What?
What was the name of that act?
Oh, the Inflation Reduction Act, which is about the weather.
Oh.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
So I'm just awaiting the Weather Act, which is about inflation.
That's weird.
His $7.3 trillion budget proposal. They're raising taxes. They're not going to cut spending, which is why this is so out of control. They're not cutting spending. And I'll look how fair I'm going to be. Even before the pandemic. And this is one of the reasons why I was a little displeased with Republicans during the first portion of Trump's term, because we had tax cuts and that was great. I don't know who was more excited about that beyond me. But I was a little upset that they weren't permanent. They were only permanent for certain corporations. I wanted it to be across the board. And what did I say from the get-go? If they do not get a handle on spending, it will be used as the argument to say tax cuts didn't work, because you got to cut, you, if you're cutting taxes, you have to cut government spending. Government won't stop spending. And they didn't do it. This was my criticism. They kept spending. And it was always, well, we're going to get it under control. We're going to get, and then the pandemic happened and everything went to hell. And so that still is being used as a way to justify increasing taxes instead of cutting government spending. That's why they say that that cutting taxes costs, when it doesn't. It's government spending that costs, because this is our money. So they're raising taxes again. And this is the New York Times piece. Obviously, Republicans, their budget proposal is very far from what his is. He wants $5 trillion in new taxes. Are you okay, Kane? Kane's dead now. Are you all right? Let's bring you back to life.
With a T.
$5 trillion.
With a T trillion?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Like to cocaine trillion. Yeah.
Is that how you spell it? I didn't
know. Uh-huh.
I had no idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tragic with a T.
Mm-hmm. Tyranny with a T.
Yeah, it is.
Turd with a T. Completely. So this is, yeah. And they I love how they also say, well, we're not going to raise taxes on this demos, but so that's a cut. What? That's not how that works. Well, we'll talk more about this tomorrow. All right, Kane, today's stupidity.
Oy. All right, Juan, this one's going to be, cut 15. Let's do that one. Chuck Schumer, that's Senator Chuck Schumer. we know the two-state solution with Gaza, Israel, it hasn't been working. But this is what he had to say.
We cannot let anger or trauma determine our actions or cloud our judgment. A two-state solution may feel daunting, especially now. But I believe it is the only realistic and sustainable solution.
Oh, my gosh.
On the basis of security, on the basis of prosperity.
He's clearly for the perpetuation of war.
You're not going to have a two-state solution because you have one whole side that doesn't want to live peacefully with the other. All right, folks, that does it for us today. Tomorrow is Friday. We've made it. Sign up for Substack, Chapter and Verse, YouTube, Facebook, like, and subscribe.